Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And do remember the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, as well as our address box, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And the best way to secure our offer of the month, which is one that I'm extraordinarily excited about, Eat Fast Feast by Dr. J. Richards. Just go to the web at equip.org. This book has been transformational to me. My waistline, my energy, many things that I'm experiencing today are a direct result of applying the principles in this book. And as I've said many times in the Bible Answer Man broadcast, C.S. Lewis was right when he said an unlettered man is a man who reads a book only once. And what he was driving at is that when you get a good book, something that you might consider a classic or something that you want to put into practice perpetually, that's something that you want to read more than once. And to that end, as I said in a recent podcast with Jay Richards, I have read his book three times, and I've gone over that book many more times because I have put his principles into practice. And that has been efficacious to me both physically and spiritually. And I'm glad to get a report today that many, many people are ordering this book, and I hope that you will consume it, digest it, and use it in the same way that I have. Again, it is available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. We'll go to your calls in just a bit, but I do want to say something about what we celebrated on Monday or yesterday, which was the Feast of Theophany. That feast, as I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, reveals the Trinity to the world through the baptism of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned, the Father spoke from heaven about the Son. The Holy Spirit descended upon the Son, of course, in the form of a dove, and the Son was baptized by no less a hand than the hand of John the Forerunner, or John the Baptist. And therefore, the day following the Feast of Theophany, or today, the body of Christ, the church, his bride, celebrates the one who participated directly in the baptism of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, whom, of course, the Lord dubbed the greatest of all the prophets and was a witness and a participant on the day of our Lord's baptism. So today we remember afresh that not long after baptizing the sinless Lamb of God, St. John faced a martyr's death at the hands of King Herod, testimony that he was willing to speak truth to power, even to the point of shedding his own blood. And that is precisely, I would argue, what is needed in the world today. Men and women who are willing to stand for truth and life, no matter the cost. Think of what happened just days ago at the Golden Globe Awards. You have a woman named Michelle Williams who uses her acceptance speech to glorify abortion, and that, unfortunately, and I guess predictively as well, to raucous applause. Incredibly, Williams intimated that her Golden Globe Award could not have become a living reality were it not for her choice to take the life of her preborn child. Without exercising this right, she opined, she would not have been able to achieve this golden pinnacle of success. Her speech, in essence, well, I'd characterize it as a jumbled facsimile of the inequality argument, you know, the inequality argument which posits that a woman forced to carry her baby to full term could not compete equally with the male counterpart in the movie industry, and thus she must of necessity have the latitude to abort another human being. Now think about what would happen if you carried that out to its logical conclusion. This inequality argument would apply to abandonment just as much. Imagine the absurdity of arguing that in order for a woman to compete on an equal basis with a man, we ought to afford her the opportunity to not only abort a preborn, but to abandon a preschooler. Had she drawn her tirade out to its logical end, well, perhaps even the Hollywood crowd would have reflexively winced. Williams, well, she concluded her remarks by rhetorically driving a wedge between men and women. If women voted their, what she called, self-interest, the world would look more female than male. She seemed blithely unaware that her politically correct audience had long ago dispensed with the very distinction between the sexes. Well, tragically, the Golden Globe Awards are but a microcosm of our culture, a culture now in the throes of a seismic semantic revolution. Male and female are fast becoming antiquated terms. According to no less an authority than Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy, marriage, as it has been historically defined, fosters little more than ill will and animosity. In his considered opinion, anyone who embraces the historical definition of marriage, marriage between one man and one woman, thus excluding same-sex couples, does so, it's hard to believe he said this, but does so out of hate and animus. What must surely have been self-evident to Kennedy is that virtually every redefinition of marriage, including his own redefinition, excludes someone. In other words, if marriage is denuded by the semantic revolution, in the end, marriage would mean nothing whatsoever. To change the meaning of a word is tantamount to changing the institution itself. And this is a prevalent problem in our culture. We are, to recapitulate what I said earlier, we're in the midst of a semantic revolution, a revolution in which the meaning of words are being altered. And when you alter the meaning of words, you lose their meaning, you lose their historicity, you lose their precedent in civilization. And this is most acute when we think of how words like gender or marriage have been denuded. And as has been well said by scholars who know what they're talking about, worldview analysis is critically important. But we need to make ourselves heard apologetically and polemically in this seismic, semantic revolution. We cannot allow the meaning of words to change in the way the culture is causing this to happen from the internet upward, from the ground upward. So it's time for us to take apologetics seriously, and not to do it only in the power of the flesh, We must do it in the power of the Spirit. We must be energized by the graces that the church provides us so that what we do is not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Of course, I've written about this and a whole lot more in a book titled Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. It is also available for those who support the ministry. You can check it out on the web, equip.org, or again, you can write for your copy, for your support, at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. My thanks to all of you who make this ministry possible because you stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. When we come back from the break, I will go directly to the callers, 888-ASK-HANK.
New York Times bestselling author J.W. Richards wrote Eat Fast Feast to help readers revolutionize their physical and spiritual health with a comprehensive guide to intermittent fasting that invites Christians to recover the fasting lifestyle that our spiritual ancestors maintained for over 1,500 years. Find out why modern science and ancient Christian practices support fasting for healthy living, and begin 2020 by healing your body and feeding your soul. To receive your copy of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-giving outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers. Counter to our intuitions, Dante depicts sinners as eager to enter the inferno, for hell promises to give them exactly what they want, their sin and themselves forever. Other topics include, did the universe really have a beginning? Christian apologetics in a nutshell, Christianity and the origins of hospitals and modern medicine, the indomitable human spirit of Philip K. Dick, why arguments over fetal pain capability ultimately miss the mark in the abortion debate, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The book, Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, is a true gift to Christians eager to grow spiritually as they get healthier physically. What makes this book unique? J.W. Richards draws on the ancient church's centuries-old practice of intermittent fasting as a way of life in Christ unknown to many modern Christians. Most books that promote diets focus solely on the physical. Eat, Fast, Feast is different because it isn't merely promoting a diet. It's a six-week plan for a powerful paradigm shift and genuinely holistic health that could make this the healthiest year of your life. To receive your copy of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And we'll go right to our phone caller, Zamad, listening in Berkeley Heights, New Jersey, on the web. Hi.
Hi, Hank. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Welcome back. It's great to have you back. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. And I have a question regarding the Nephilim. Mm-hmm. And it's not your typical question that you get on your show. It's more, as we know, they're mentioned in Genesis 6. And then in Genesis 7, we see the flood and the story of Noah. And based on that, we know that the earth was repopulated with the descendants of Noah. My question is, as you read further into the scriptures, in Numbers 13, when we see the 10 spies going into the land of Canaan, they come back reporting that they've seen the Nephilim, the sons of Anak. Furthermore, later in Joshua 14, we see Caleb asking Joshua for the land, for Hebron, the land that was promised to him. And in Joshua 15, we see Caleb driving out the three sons of Anak. And then that story is further retold in the text out in Judges 1, where again it reiterates how Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak in taking the land that was promised to him. So my question is, and I've been trying to research this and make sense of this, and I figured I'd tap your thoughts and see what your perspective is in terms of if the Nephilim were destroyed in the flood, how do we see them reappear in Numbers and in Joshua and in Judges later on in Scripture? Thank you very much.
Sure. Well, you know, the answer to that question is not all evil men were destroyed in the flood. Obviously, the human race continued and continued on with a broken gene, meaning continued on with a propensity towards sin. So there's no real big surprise that you would find Nephilim not only populating the time prior to the flood, populating the world, but also thereafter. And of course, that's precisely what the text tells us, that Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward. When the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them, they were the heroes of old, and then they're designated as men of renown. A lot of people want to say that they were hybrids. They were a hybrid of men and angels, as though angels had intercourse with women and produced this hybrid species. But there's no indication whatsoever in Scripture that that could happen. Kinds reproduce after their own kinds, and angels do not reproduce at all. In fact, in heaven, we're not going to reproduce, and in that sense, we're not going to marry and be, we're going to be like the angels in the sense we're neither going to marry nor be given in marriage. So I think the problem oftentimes begins with this notion that demons can produce real bodies and have real sex with real women, which would invalidate the argument of Jesus for the authenticity of his resurrection. Jesus assured the disciples that a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. If indeed a demon could produce flesh and bones, the argument of our Lord would not only be flawed, but the argument would be misleading. In fact, then it might be logically argued that the disciples did not actually see the post-resurrection appearances of Christ, but rather a demon masquerading as the resurrected Christ. By the way, I wrote about this in some detail, as I recall, in a book called The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. If you want more information, check it out. It is available for people who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Tim in Atlanta, Georgia, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tim.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Doing good.
I need to ask you a question that's really bothered me over the last couple of weeks, and I've really put a lot of thought in it. I was, I gave my life to Christ 30 years ago, but in the meantime, I have done a lot. I have sinned. I've done a willful sin, and I know that I knew better and I did it. How do I stand?
Well, I think you have to understand, Tim, that the Christian faith is not transactional, as in I gave my life to the Lord 30 years ago or 20 years ago or 40 years ago. It's not transactional, it's transformational, which means that when someone gives their life to the Lord, they enter the community of faith. They're baptized, they renounce the devil and his kingdom, and they enter into a sphere in which they are changed from one glory to another. And that sphere is the Eucharistic assembly, it's the church. Within the church, you receive the graces that transform you. And that's why in the ancient church, we say, I have been saved, but it's not a singular act. I'm saved, I have been saved, I'm saved, and I will be saved. The point being is that if I continue on within the context in which I can grow in grace, my salvation is a reality. It's a reality in this life, a reality that will be brought to full fruition in the life to come. So the point that I like to stress is from a quote by a theologian named Vladimir Lossky, who was born in 1903, who says that following the fall of Adam and Eve, the history of humanity is a history of shipwreck awaiting rescue, but the port of salvation is not the goal. The goal is for the rescued to continue on a journey whose sole goal is union with God. And that journey takes place not in isolation, but it takes place within the community of faith, within the body of Christ. And again, it's within the body of Christ that you receive transformational graces. So, yeah, we'll continue to sin, we'll continue to fall, but the point is, are you continuing to confess your sins and continuing to receive the graces offered to you within the body of Christ?
I have confessed my sins, and I have asked to be forgiven.
Well, and then we continue to do that, right? Just as 1 John 1 tells us to do. We continue to ask for forgiveness, and we continue to partake of the graces within the body of Christ. So my emphasis in my answer to you is this journey is not a journey you go alone. You are part of the church. You cannot have God as your father without having the church as your mother. The church provides the graces that transform you.
Thank you.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Tim in Vernon, New Jersey, listening on SiriusXM 131. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Hank. I'm the second Tim to call in this evening.
Oh, that's right.
I have a question.
I didn't pick up on that.
reading in 2 Samuel chapter 16 and 17, we have Absalom usurping David's authority. And Hushai the Archite is called in to, different translations of the Bible will say, frustrate or confound the advice of Ahithophel, or Ahithophel, however you say, the advisor that Absalom took from David. And I'm wondering if God still uses human cunning to frustrate those who have bad intentions, or if that's just an Old Testament thing.
Well, look, the Old Testament, when we say Old Testament thing, you got to remember that the Old Testament gives us the accounts, the narratives, including people with all their warts and moles and wrinkles. It doesn't try to airbrush them. So we have principles that are given to us, and those principles reiterated by our Lord is that we, in essence, need to be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. Now, cunning is not part of the equation when it is seen in the pejorative, unbiblical sense. So you have to take the narratives, and you have to read those narratives in light of the didactic principles or the teaching principles that are given to us in the Scripture. And that's why when we read a passage like this, we always leave the magnifying glass in the hands of the New Testament writers, and they give us an idea of what the principles are. So we can use wisdom, but we can't use deceit. So if cunning intimates deceit, then we cannot use it. So again, wise as serpents, but not cunning in the sense of deceptive. Unfortunately, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My apologies to those that I didn't get to today. Hopefully I can get out my answers a little quicker tomorrow. So give me another try tomorrow. Remember the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And again, thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're making the difference in the lives of people all around the world.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org, that's equip.org, or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Like millions concerned about their health, Hank Hanegraaff had never really known which diet plan to trust. But he's found the secret to healing the whole of you, body, soul, and spirit. Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul by J.W. Richards reveals that God is interested in more than just our physical health. He's interested in healing the whole of us. Eat Fast Feast outlines a plan found in the ancient Christian practice of intermittent fasting that can help you experience deeper life in Christ. To receive Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, a Christian guide to fasting, simply visit equip.org. That's equip.org. And make a gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.